This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 35 minutes after the hour. It's good that you got that rejoin in from Brock, too, because Brock's name is certainly being talked about nationwide with this 5-for-5 case that he's involved in. Certainly a big one. Kevin Lytle joining us right now from the Coloradoan. The Rams started up their fall practices or fall camp yesterday. Kevin, well, we got a new contract with Adidas. I'm sure we're going to talk about some players. You know, you caught up with Jim Mora as well. But, you know, what stood out to you yesterday, my friend? What do you know at this stage?
Football.
It's pretty much back.
Yeah. You know, it's nice that it's back. You know, it is funny. Obviously, it's not the most important thing. But the Adidas thing is really the first thing you notice because obviously the three-stripe stands out and new practice uniforms and cleats and all that jazz. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, day one, it's really early. We don't know what everything's going to be. But I think the thing we did see is that since there wasn't a spring transfer portal, you get the same group now as you had in the spring, you know, other than a couple late GAC transfers. But that allowed CSU, you know, with this new staff and all these new players to basically lay the foundation. And now you can build off of that, as you start preseason here, as opposed to when you had a, you know, second spring portal period and you added 20 more players and had to restart in some ways. So I think we could see that of they had sort of set a baseline and we're, you know, starting from that point as opposed to day one of spring where it was very much like, you know, Jim Mora even said it somewhat jokingly, but not fully, of, you know, spring started with, here's a football. Here's how you go forward. You know, obviously a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but that's where spring was, and now obviously they're advanced past that for preseason here.
Kevin, what is your sense from Jim Mora? Obviously, coaches are going to say the right things. They're going to say, we want to win. We want to do it immediately. We're not rebuilding. We got transfer portal now. But what does your gut tell you, kind of listening to Jim Mora? Because sometimes you can talk to coaches, and they talk about their players, and they'll say, well, you know, these guys are really raw. They're really athletic, though, and they're working hard. And you can read between the lines and say, ooh, he's not that confident in their actual play on the field or court. But from what you've kind of sensed from Jim Mora, what would you guess his realistic expectations are, his view of this team are?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've been able to pick up a sense of that yet because, yeah, I'm trying to do that, want to do that, to see what those hints and what he says are. But what I think I do know is he is very intense, has very high demands, and I don't think he is going to look at a season, no matter what the situation is, and be like, yo, it's a rebuild. Like, it's okay. We're building for the future. I don't think that's in his, you know, mindset capability, really. That's just not how he can operate. So I think kind of no matter what the roster looks like, he is going to have a mindset of he expects success. You know, that doesn't mean, you know, that's national championship or bust, but I think he's pretty bound and determined that if he takes the field, he expects to be able to win.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we're less than a month away when the Rams kick off their season, their first season in the Pac-12 against an old friend in the Mountain West in the Wyoming Cowboys. That one's going to be huge. I'm very pumped about it. But as far as, you know, guys on this roster, day one again, they only allow you to see so much out there, Kevin. I'm hoping to get out there with you next week and pick your brain. But anything stand out to you, hot, nasty speed alert, anything like that?
Yeah, you know, again, since it's the same group as spring, mostly it's kind of the same guys. You know, Hosseini's very athletic and quick at quarterback, but he's definitely battling Kasan Farrar, who has you know, some similar skill set, but a little bit different as well. You know, Mel Brown, I still like Mel Brown. Darrell Robinson's out in the field. You know, he looks like a good back. Umar Diamande, I think definitely very good on defense. Caleb Presley, you know, has impressed me some at cornerback. Again, it's really early, but yeah, you know, those are a few guys. I think maybe a broad one rather than a specific player is this team is really, I think they have good size and depth at the D line. I think they have the big fellas in the middle that you need. That jumped out to me yesterday. I'm kind of looking around. I'm like, well, there are a lot of these guys rather than a lot of years. There's like a couple. I think they have a good amount.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like, and again, you've mentioned those names quite a few times just over the last few months, just in your research or studying of these guys. And then you see them out there on the field, at least for day one. It seems like it's kind of checking out. The quarterback battle, as you brought up, you know, Haas Haney, Kasan Farr, like that battle, it does seem like it's a real battle. You know, at first, when I saw Haas Haney, when I saw that news, it was like, oh, there you go. There's your starting quarterback. But, you know, you've told us kind of the last few weeks, and especially now, that there's a legitimate quarterback competition going on.
Yeah, I think so. I think it definitely is. I don't, you know, to be honest, we didn't even directly ask Jim Moore about it yesterday after day one because he made it pretty clear in spring that he doesn't anticipate naming a quarterback early. And, you know, I think that's what it looks like. And, you know, from the, you know, we know how coaches are. I obviously, you know, us as, you know, media members and wanting to share news with the public would prefer that early and obvious. But from a coaching standpoint, you can see why he's saying, you know, why on earth would I tell Wyoming who my quarterback is? So I won't be surprised if that one runs for quite a long time.
So I'll be ready then. I'll be asking you literally every week, and you'll have to kind of give me the same kind of answer, right?
Yeah, you and everyone else in line. It's going to be really interesting. And I asked you know, Price Tracy today, the OC. Not like, who's your quarterback? Because, again, it's pretty clear that they're not sharing that or not decided yet. But just philosophies. And it's just interesting. Price Tracy talks a lot, like, one, against close to the vest, so he's not going to share the X's and O's of what the offense is going to be. But a lot of it is, you know, kind of the mentality mindset side of the game as much as it is pure execution of the game as well. So it's kind of interesting to see what it is that they're picking up on as the key things to kind of make some of these decisions. That's not just at quarterback. Obviously, that's the most obvious, you know, position battle. But there are obviously a lot of other guys fighting for spots as well. So it's interesting to see kind of what this staff leans on as their center pieces for success.
I got a couple of texts coming in, and I'll get to those in a moment, Kevin. But as far as like Jim Mora and what you've learned about his time at UConn, UCLA, even the NFL, what would you say his thing is? You know, you can look at like Jay Sovell in Wyoming. Okay, defensive minded guy. He's all about that defense. They stud, you know, he just kind of carries on that the linebacker stuff. Coach Prime, I think his thing is he can recruit because he's popular. I don't think he has like an X's and O's thing. What is that about Jim Mora, at least based on what you know about him today?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think I wrote it sort of a self debate of, you know, what's this team's identity going to be as far as, yeah, exactly that. You know, when Jay Norvell came in, it was clear they wanted to be an air raid team. Obviously, we all know that changed, blah, blah, blah. But that was his identity then. But I think Mora's molds based on, he's talked about this, of you have to mold and shift based on your roster rather than being rigid. And I think that makes sense in this era. Obviously, he's a defensive guy. He was a DC before he's a head coach and has a long history there. But he's also talked a lot about having dynamic offenses. You know, he certainly had that at UConn last year. So it seems like he's malleable to, hey, what's my roster best at? And we're going to work around that.
Kevin Lytle joining us. Got the text here from third best tailgater here. Let's pretend it's August 6th, 2029. So let's get in the time machine, Kevin. What are the key themes to look back on for the first 3 years of the Mora coaching time at CSU? So basically asking you to kind of predict in 3 years, what do you think this thing's going to look like?
Better be winning. I mean, that's the super obvious blunt thing to say, but they're paying a lot of money, investing a lot in this program too. And that's why kind of why I say when you asked earlier about, you know, the vibe on the roster, no one no one is doing this as a planned, you know, long rebuild, because that doesn't exist in college football anymore. So, yeah, I think in 3 years, CSU would be hoping that they are part of conversations for the next round of moving up in the college sports world, whether that's the Pac-12, you know, has become a force and is sort of becoming a Power 5 again, or, you know, if the other leagues are looking to add, Colorado State being in that conversation, that's where they want to be. There's going to be another round of stuff in the kind of 2030-31 range, because that's when a lot of TV deals come up. So in 3 years, CSU wants to be well positioned to be in those conversations, whether it's individually or collectively as, you know, the Pac-12 group.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, because in 3 years, who knows? In 3 years, we're going to have a good enough sample size, and that's a good text, third best tailgater here. In 3 years, we're going to have a good sample size of what the Pac-12 is. If they are really competitive, teams that they're, I mean, I'm guessing they're going to have teams in the playoffs, what those games look like, and obviously the team at the front, more often than not, would be the one, to be considered a favorite to go anywhere else if the Pac-12 has not, you know, landed themselves back into a power conference conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is an important time to succeed and position yourself, because, again, yeah, we'll see what these, you know, Safe College Sports Act and all these various things do, but it still seems like even if that passes through the way it's written, there's still wiggle room for realignment growth in a couple years, and I think it would be naive to think that, you know, that won't happen.
Kevin, always appreciate you, my man. Hey, we're going to fire this up, and I know you're down for it, but we're going to be doing our weekly questions that I put out that we can throw out on the socials and all that, and you're game for it, I believe, right, Kevin? Yeah, we're doing this on the air.
I mean, nothing like peer pressure on the air, but golly, what answer can I get? But yeah, absolutely, a lot of fun, and yeah, we can't wait for Rams Weekly. Like,
yes,
pretty
sir.
Soon here,
yep.
Everything's going to be firing. It's pretty exciting.
My life will be complete again, Kevin. I have to admit,
I know.
Seeing you here at the station every Thursday, we awkwardly watch you get out of your car and walk up to the door, and you're uncomfortable.
I need theme music.
And you
music
do.
Would be great.
Theme music would be great.
Hint.
But we feel complete once you're, because you're like a part of, you're basically a part of the staff at this point, Kevin. Not paid, of course, but a part of the staff nonetheless. And we're ready.
Paid in spirit, you know.
In spirits sometimes too, my man. Kevin, always appreciate it, man. We are looking forward to it. I'll shoot you a text here soon, and we'll get that all straightened out, because I can't wait, man. And Rams Weekly, burning questions for Kevin Lyle, all that coming up, and we love it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to everything coming in the next few months.
Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you soon, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. He is kind of like part of the family here. You know, he's here once a week. We do Rams Weekly Live here, and we after the show, we typically go hang out somewhere, and we talk shop, stuff that we can't say off the air, that I get different kind of information. Because Kevin's in the know, Mike. He can only give us so much, but he's in the know of all things Colorado State. That's a good text from third best tailgater here, by the way. Why not first best tailgater? You know, why not strive for greatness?
Well,
TBTH.
I mean, there are a couple really good tailgaters at Broncos Field at Mile High.
What are we doing?
So he could be
Stop.
The third best.
What did I tell you? That had nothing to do with Broncos. That had literally nothing to do with Broncos. Nothing to do
it
with
had
the Broncos.
Something to do with tailgating. They tailgate at
He's
stadiums.
He's talking about
He's
tailgating
probably number three
at
because there
CSU.
Are two better than him down in Denver.
He's talking about, why? Go to Denver. You know what? Pack your bags. He's talking about tailgating at CSU, Michael. Pack your bags.
So he would be the first at CSU,
well,
or
what
is
I'm
he
saying.
The third best at CSU?
That's what he's saying. He's the third best tailgater here. At some point, I'm sure. I'd like to know how that nickname came about, by the way. But that's a good text. What's this thing going to look like in 3 years? What's CSU going to look like in 3 years? What's the Conference of Champions going to look like in 3 years? You know, odds are they're not going to be a power conference, but I am interested to see them try. That's going to be fun. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. Top stories of the day presented by Aloe Fiber. We use them here at KFKA and couldn't be happier. Also, some updates on the Nuggets. I will hit the Brock Wisney story, too. Just the update, the things I know. Future Hall of Famers on the Broncos. More than Patrick Surtain? We'll talk about it. Keep it here on the whole show. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Two teams, no parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.